This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
John Calipari is going to be the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. On a day where we see...
all of the small things.
Oh, geez.
Seems like a big thing. I don't know. On a day after where we see South Carolina win a national championship going 38-0. Cody Rhodes ended the storyline, right, Pat? That's how I say it. Cody Rhodes ended it. Is that correct? Do we give him credit on that? Is that how we do it, Pat Costello?
Is he watching Charmed?
Oh, no.
I think he's not. He's.
I'm trying to do my best to work him in on this.
No. What happened? I'm yelling about WrestleMania stuff. What happened?
That's literally what I was asking you.
He was talking about WrestleMania.
Oh, well, I'm busy yelling at Nuno.
Okay, so
did
yell
Cody
at
Rhodes
us
end
then.
This? Give us the 30-second recap of what we need to know from WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes, biggest storyline, correct?
Yeah, Cody won. The Rock was amazing. John Cena came back. The Undertaker chokeslammed The Rock.
Oh, nice.
It was pretty neat, but underwhelming.
Didn't Roman Reigns hit The Rock with the spear?
He did on night one, yeah. On night one, he speared The Rock.
But weren't they a tag team?
They were, yeah. It was an accident, you know.
An accident.
Yeah.
An accident.
Seth Rollins moved out of the way. He pushed Cody. All of a sudden, The Rock gets hit with a spear. You know, it happens.
And there was
it happens to me and Nuno three times a day.
Classic.
And there's another storyline of Drew McIntyre and who?
Yeah, well, Drew McIntyre won the heavyweight championship from Seth Rollins, who... on night one, injured his leg, and he was rubbing it in CM Punk's face. He told us on the WrestleMania show that's what he was going to do. Successfully did that, and then CM Punk hit him with the brace that he had on his arm, and then Damian Priest cashed in the Money in the Bank and stole the title from him.
All right. Smalls is going to do a post-game show later on all of that, I'm sure.
Obviously.
Hold on,
can't
Pat.
Wait.
How do you bury the lead? You're an Eagles fan, and you don't mention the two offensive linemen for the Eagles that showed up?
Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson had
a
great time. I was so impressed
up.
By Jason Kelce's athleticism. He jumped over the top rope in jeans and Timberlands, and it was amazing.
We saw him jumping in and out of the suite shirtless in Tim's, so...
Seems like it's on brand, right?
Yeah, we know exactly.
The Kelces are unbelievable. I can say that without even mentioning Travis, because Kylie, Jason's wife, was supporting the women's game yesterday in Cleveland for the national championship between Iowa and South Carolina, along with Jason Sudeikis and Darius Rucker and Robin Roberts. Star-studded cast in there yesterday. So all of
wasn't Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, another good one. Thank you. The Eagles quarterback, of course. And so we have all these storylines in and around sports. We've got the national championship tonight between UConn and Purdue. And oh, by the way, John Calipari decides, I'm going to go to Arkansas voluntarily. Not because they got rid of me. Not because they gave me $33 million to leave, but just because, you know what? They don't appreciate and love me enough, so I'm going to Arkansas. Sean Farnham, ESPN college basketball analyst, was on the 11 p.m. Sports Center Eastern Time last night and explained why Arkansas targeted Coach Cal.
He elevates the program with his elite level recruiting. I think that it's going that fan base and the passion that they have for their team. We saw it time and time again. I think John Calipari is one of the best coaches in the game. And you can tell me about the tournament success. Casey, what's his winning percentage during the regular season? How have they fared as far as competing in the SEC at the top level with all the other programs and all the other teams that, by the way, have invested a lot in basketball as well in recent years? Obviously, Rick Barnes in Tennessee had a lot of success this past season. Bruce Pearl at Auburn. But John Calipari in Kentucky were consistently a top 25 program and consistently pumping out some of the best players in the country year in and year out. Arkansas gets that kind of momentum and that kind of traction. I think John Calipari is built to get back to a Final Four again. We want to look at a lack of tournament success and judge somebody solely based on that. I think that we are doing a disservice. I mean, look at Matt Painter a year ago and Matt Painter's record over the last couple of years and how that looked in the NCAA tournament. And tomorrow night, he's got an opportunity to win a championship as the Boilermakers get set to take on UConn.
All right, you had to wipe your eyes more and realize what you're looking at more so with Calipari to Arkansas or the clips today? Because when I saw it, initially I thought it was a joke. I'm like, wait, what? I like literally wiped my eyes.
A week ago, that would have made sense because it would have been April Fool's. But
yes.
But it's not.
But even yesterday, when you first saw that on social media, you believe that? I didn't
believe
it.
No, I didn't believe it. No way.
But there have been grumblings about this for several weeks now.
But even, for this job?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's for this
That's
job.
That's my point,
but,
yeah.
But there has been some chatter that all was not well coming out of that meeting with the athletic director that they had a couple of weeks ago. And that there was some angst about going into this season and Coach Cal potentially being a lame duck. Mm-hmm. So I guess for Coach Cal, it makes sense for you to get out rather than be pushed out, even though you're leaving $33 million on the table, which is what the golden parachute would have been, the buyout would have been for Kentucky to fire him. So I guess I understand. I understand it from Kentucky's standpoint in terms of, you know, wanting to transition and get out of this deal. But I don't get it from Coach Cal's standpoint to volunteer to leave that job for a lesser job in Arkansas. Now, I get it. Arkansas is going to have a ton of resources that they're going to throw at him. I mean, On3 that tracks the NIL money with collegiate sports, they're saying that they're going to have around $6 million in NIL budget, which most – whereas most typical Power Five programs have between $1 and $4 million. So they're going to throw a lot of money at the problem in order to get this thing fixed and to raise the profile as such that it would fit Coach Cal's brand. Mm-hmm. But I'm just sitting here thinking about it. Like, if you're Coach Cal, to leave Kentucky, the prestige that comes along with being the head coach at that program for Arkansas, I mean, that is telling in terms of the power dynamic and, dare I say, the toxicity that exists between Coach Cal, the athletic director, and the fan base of Big Blue Nation.
Yeah, he's going from a place where the luster has worn off of his accomplishments to a place where all of a sudden it's shiny again, yeah. Right? He's off the pedestal at Kentucky. All of a sudden he's back on it at Arkansas, at least for the time being. Now he's going to have to be able to have a certain level of success there in order for him to maintain that. But right now, if you wake up this morning and you're an Arkansas fan, how are you not excited about
this?
You have to be so pumped. This is a guy who not only is a proven winner, and I know a lot of people want to discount Cal's record based on the amount of talent that he's brought in and the program that he was the head coach of, but it's really hard to win a national title, and he's done it, right? He's also one of the best recruiters we've seen in college basketball, and in the landscape of college basketball right now, that's as important as ever. And I think more importantly than anything, he makes that program immediately relevant.
What you just said is so dead on. There is no question. The Arkansas fan today has a feeling that they have not had since Nolan Richardson, Corliss Williamson, all of these, Scotty Thurman back in the day, all these great players, and they had great programs, but they haven't had this feeling of relevance like this, right? Eric Musselman was an excellent coach. There's an argument that Eric Musselman is a better basketball coach than John Calipari, flat out, and he's the USC coach now and was the Arkansas coach. But there is no argument as to the relevancy of a program. You know, John Calipari.
This takes it back to 40 minutes of hell.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to play. That would be fascinating if he decided, you know what, screw it, I'm going to play that way. And where in the one and done era, I only need probably 7 or 8 guys.
Yeah.
You go look back at those teams. I'm not going to list every player. I could. I'm pathetic. They went 10 or 11 deep of guys that could play because he just would run them, and they won championship. They won a championship, got back to the finals or Final Four, yeah. And lost after that.
We're going
to
press everybody.
Yeah, and they were fun to watch. Yeah. They were must watch TV at that point. I am with you, though. I am stunned Calipari did this. I get all the reasons, right? Get out before they get you out. I totally get that. But if he was going to do that, I would have expected him to do something that felt different, whether it's retirement, television, run an agency, be a team president in the NBA. Because I didn't think he'd want to continue the same job he's doing somewhere else.
But here's the thing. It's not the same job, though, right? Because at Arkansas, he can just coach. He can recruit and coach. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't have to worry about the politics that comes along with being the head coach at Kentucky. These people are excited to have him.
Okay, play out one thing. What if he's as good as he thinks he is? And he totally makes this program an elite level. Aren't there politics that come with that then?
No, because he's creating that environment. He's coming in basically and they're handing him the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. He can build it the way that he wants to build it. And he comes in with enough cachet that he can deny certain things that might be happening. Where at Kentucky, that's already all baked in.
Well, then you just told me he didn't win enough at Kentucky. In a weird way, you just told me that. Because Nick Saban entered the same situation at Alabama. It was all of this history, all of the politics, and he won so much that anybody that thought they had say no longer had say. That's the reality. John Calipari did not win enough to out-say, outpower those who had power in addition to
him. Yeah, but I mean, to say that Coach Saban did that, yeah, he did that, but he's won, what, 6 national titles at Bama?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Calipari did not win enough.
To have 6 national titles in 15 years, that's the expectation for Coach Cal?
I don't know. You tell me. Do we think that is?
It's probably Kentucky fans probably.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably
based
their
on the draft picks. They've got 35 first round draft picks since Cal has
so
been
he,
there.
In their minds, that's actually a good comparison.
Yeah,
he should have been Saban, and he wasn't.
He wasn't, but it wasn't like he wasn't good.
I didn't say that.
It's been a while since they've been to a Final Four. I want to say 2015, 2016, but he's been to 4 Final Fours in 15 years. That's going to a Final Four every 3 or 4 years. He's giving you a chance to win a title during that span. That's pretty damn good. He's got 6 regular season titles, 6 SEC tournament titles. That's pretty good.
But they wanted him to be Saban. I think that's where we've landed on this.
But here's the thing.
And that's unreasonable.
But here's the thing. If you want your coach to be Saban, then who the hell wants this job? Who the hell wants this job? If that's the bar to clear, you've got to be the Nick Saban of college basketball, because Kentucky basketball is every bit as storied as Alabama football was, because Adolph Rupp is our version of Bear Bryant. If that's the standard,
yes,
then who wants that job?
Great point.
If you're Billy Donovan, you don't want that job. If you're Nate Oates, you don't want that job. Like, I know those are the names that everybody is throwing out there, and I get it, because they're really good coaches. But if that is the bar to clear, and you've got all of these other cooks in the kitchen, from the AD to the president to the Big Blue Nation to the boosters that are willing to withhold NIL money to Coach Cal, then why would I want to step into that situation?
And based on the landscape of collegiate athletics right now, the name brand of the university and the history doesn't carry as much weight as it once did. Kids are looking at their opportunities, and their opportunities at Wisconsin or at Illinois or at Virginia could be greater from a financial standpoint or an opportunity to win than it is at Kentucky.
Well, maybe not at Virginia.
But you know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Well, you won the championship.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You didn't win a chip, though. Yeah.
You've had more success recently than Kentucky.
Wow.
Oh, I think Tony Bennett is a better basketball coach than John Calipari. I just think he does it in a different way that allows for more downside. But that's what, like, John Calipari is a very good coach.
He's a good coach.
He's not, like, the greatest X's and O's coach you've ever seen in your life.
No,
he's
but
just
he's,
not.
He's probably a top 10 coach in the sport, and he's the best recruiter in college basketball.
Under the old format of what could get you success, is he the best recruiter in the new format of, I've got to call the mid-major and get the player? Maybe
well,
not.
Well, he can. He just hasn't. He's always gone with the one-and-done player.
And let's see now. Because he can fill out a roster any way he wants. There are no previous commitments with Arkansas that he made. There are previous commitments that other people made. But he can walk right in and say, you good, you good, you not so much, get out. Deion Sanders style of Colorado.
Yeah, everybody hit the portal.
Yeah.
Anybody that was here before hit the portal.
He's bringing Louis luggage,
gonna get,
too.
You're not going to get no burn. Exactly.
Speaking of Louis, the Louis Vuitton Don won yesterday. We will get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Congrats to South Carolina winning the women's championship yesterday, 87-75 over Caitlin Clark and Iowa. Just a remarkable performance by Dawn Staley and her squad. And we have properly credited South Carolina today. And we haven't taken, I guess, the glass half empty approach a little bit that we probably should dive into just a tiny bit. Caitlin Clark's career ends without a title. Are we okay with that? Does it impact her legacy? Do we care knowing the discrepancy between the totality of the team of South Carolina and Iowa yesterday? How do we feel about
this? So I thought a lot about this watching that game, about Caitlin Clark's legacy. And we said that she needed to have a championship in order for her legacy to be complete. But we did that out of respect for her because she's one of the greatest players that we've seen. And we do that with any great player. We unfortunately hold people to the standard of championships as a marker of their greatness. But I think that winning yesterday would have enhanced her legacy, but I don't think losing that game detracted from it in any way. What she was able to do, not only this past season and elevating the sport as a whole, that in itself is singular, what she was able to do. But her name is in the history books forever. Her legacy is already set. So I think winning it enhances it just that much more. Losing yesterday doesn't detract from what Caitlin Clark has meant to this sport in any way.
Losing doesn't detract from her legacy, but I question whether or not we can call her a GOAT. Like, even though she's the all-time leading scorer in men's or women's college basketball, I'm uncomfortable calling her a greatest of all time when you don't have the hardware to back it up. All of that individual success and all of those individual accolades have to translate to your team being able to have success at the highest levels of the sport. Think about the women that are in that GOAT conversation. Shamika Hosclaw and Candace Parker and Breonna Stewart and Maya Moore and Diana Taurasi. I mean, you can go on and on and on. They got championships. You don't have a championship. And here's the thing. I get that you're saying the backdrop to her falling short was how good South Carolina was.
Yeah.
Because they finished the perfect season. But this is a person that beat South Carolina in the Final Four last year on her way to the national championship game. And South Carolina had the presumptive number one overall pick in the WNBA and Aaliyah Boston on that team. So I'm not going to say that it was some insurmountable task. I just think that the fact that she came up a little bit short is one of those things that we're going to remember as a part of her story. That will be a footnote to the greatness that we saw from Caitlin Clark at the collegiate level.
I guess I have now looked at her differently than I did during this process. And the reason I say that is because I sat there yesterday with my wife and my daughter watching this game. And they both were talking about South Carolina. And I don't know that they would have if Caitlin Clark wasn't such a huge star bringing them in to see other parts of the women's game. They started really loving what they saw from South Carolina. And I guess I look at Caitlin Clark as someone that kind of brought a sport to life. You know, women's basketball has been going on forever, but it wasn't loud. Now it's loud. Now we're sitting there debating GOATs. We're debating, you know, the defensive strategy of South Carolina and the move that they made to put Raven Johnson on Caitlin Clark after she's dropping 18 points in the first quarter. And I believe that Caitlin Clark, while there have been maybe better players before her, drew more people in than anyone else. And now we notice other things as a result that I don't want to say I don't care if she wins a championship, because that's not necessarily fair. But I care more that I now have another sport to pay attention to in a way that I hadn't previously, if I'm just going to speak for myself on that.
Also, South Carolina is so incredibly deep. I mean, yeah. She herself can only do so much. And in talking about her greatness, it's hard for her to overcome not only the greatness of South Carolina and their depth by herself. I mean, South Carolina's bench outscored Iowa's 37-0. I mean, Caitlin Clark has nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But also, concurrently, we're having a conversation today about Dawn Staley's greatness. And she has to overcome not only the players out on the court, but Dawn Staley's tactical skills as well. And I think that she did everything she possibly could to get her team in this position. The fact that Iowa is even in the national championship game yesterday is strictly a testament to Caitlin Clark. And I don't want to discount Lisa Bluter or anyone else on that team. But Caitlin Clark is the reason that they're there.
Yeah, the comparison for Caitlin Clark to me, and it's going to fall on deaf ears a little bit because when we bring up the titles, is most recently Tiger. Golf was going on forever. We weren't paying attention to it the way in which we did upon Tiger's arrival because he brought eyes and ears to the Sport Masters Week this week. We'll have coverage later in the week, obviously.
Hello.
But that he brought eyes and ears to a sport that was in existence and had Jack, the greatest player of all time, before that, but in a different way. It became more mainstream. Women's basketball is more mainstream now, and I'm now Malaysia for Wiley. I'm all in. Like, she was. Yeah. I want to know what she does next year. Juju Watkins. I'm going to watch the WNBA draft. I love drafts in general, but now I'm going to be
you
in
do
on the
love draft.
I do, but now I like the WNBA draft. I want to know. Can you trade draft picks? I don't even know. Is somebody going to offer the Indiana team like an enormous offer for the number one pick? That's what I'm saying. Now I'm in a way that is different, and it's not just about her. And it's why we should play this. Dawn Staley after the game yesterday on ABC with Holly Rowe. She wins a championship. Her team goes 38-0, and what does she do? She's amazing. She credits a player on the other team. In Caitlin Clark, in what she did. We have that sound, guys? Sorry, I should have asked you for that. I did not. It's on me. But people need to hear this. This Dawn Staley sound after the game, she gets up there and she is crediting the best player on the opposition.
I really would just like to say I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome. Awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
You know, sometimes, and it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but, like, greatness brings eyes and ears on other people along the way. Patrick Mahomes is going to be one of the greatest – he's already one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce, we learn, is one of the greatest tight ends ever. Chris Jones is one of the best defensive linemen in the sport. Like, we see that because of Mahomes bringing us there. We see South Carolina. We see now LSU. We see USC in a way that is different because Caitlin Clark has brought us there. And that's what Dawn Staley is talking about. And to me, that's her legacy more than titles. I think if it was 10 years from now, we would look at it as the titles, but only because she brought more eyes and ears to the analysis of the sport.
But what is it about Caitlin Clark's game that has been able to draw so many other people in to
she's
make her
Steph Curry?
Is it just the scoring, the logo threes? Is it that having that aspect of it, that style of play? What's pulling everybody in?
I'm trying
to figure out, because you're right, there is this magnetism toward women's college basketball, and Caitlin Clark seems to be the epicenter of it. I'm just trying to figure out, what is it about Caitlin Clark's story that draws so many people in? I mean, she's a homegrown product. Uh-huh. She's from the state of Iowa, staying in the state of Iowa, being able to accomplish what she's done, getting this program to back-to-back Final Four, setting the scoring record in college basketball. I'm just trying to figure out or nail down exactly what is it about Caitlin Clark that has drawn so many people in.
So I think her game is aesthetically pleasing. It's an exciting brand of basketball. But I think when she was going for the all-time record, that in itself got a lot of people to pay attention just because...
Kind of like the home run chase?
Yes.
For Sosa and McGuire?
We love records. We love people going or being in a position to potentially break a record. So I think a lot of people had their eyes towards that. And then once they started watching her play, they were locked in. And then you're like, oh, wait. What LSU's got going on is pretty exciting, too. South Carolina's incredibly dominant. Wow, Juju Watkins at USC. Tuning in because of Caitlin Clark was a vessel for so many people to see all of the other exciting things that were happening in the women's game.
It's like when people say about Steph versus LeBron, and LeBron's even said this. Like, what LeBron is physically is not – nobody can just be like, oh, I could be like that. But you can shoot threes. You can't make threes like Steph. Like, Camila Cardoza is 6'7", dominant around the rim. That's not something that people could see themselves doing. In the case of Caitlin Clark, her ability to shoot the three – I love her passing, obviously. But yeah. I think that's probably what it is.
That's a great example.
I want it to be that
when
way.
When you say LeBron and Steph, that is a great example because there's no question LeBron James is at least the second best player in the history of the NBA. But there's no question in this era of NBA play, Steph Curry has had the biggest influence. It feels that way with Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
She might not be the best player over the last couple of decades in women's college basketball, but she certainly had the most influence in terms of making the sport what it is today.
And if you told me Malaysia Fulwiley of South Carolina, I know this is projecting out years, that she amounted to be a better pro player than Caitlin Clark, that's completely believable. But she may be a Hall of Fame. She's so good. I know she had like 9 points yesterday, but she's like Hall of Fame level good you could project her out to be. That's how good that young lady is. But she may not have the impact on the sport than Caitlin Clark has. I want to believe it's just for basketball reasons. I'll say it that way. I want to believe that. I'm not sure I don't know, but I want to believe it's just for basketball reasons. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and
The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, by the way, it's not Kentucky and Arkansas in the championship tonight.
No.
It is UConn and Purdue. Certainly the men's game has been overshadowed by the huge news with John Calipari going to Arkansas. You think the NCAA is annoyed by that or happy by that about that this morning?
Probably annoyed.
That we're taken away from the actual game?
Probably, a little bit.
Who cares what the NCAA feels?
Well, that's a good point.
Agreed. Yeah, honestly,
I don't care about it.
Well,
now
the other thing is, Jay Wright's a part of the broadcast on the pregame, right? Does he have to be asked about the Kentucky job?
I would imagine they would need to ask him, yes.
Would you be interested in that? Because if he says yes, that job is then closed. I can promise you that.
I'll tell you this. I mean, the timing of UConn to get an extension done with Dan Hurley.
By 9 p.m. Eastern tonight?
No, I mean the fact that you're talking about it already being done, though. Like, have that Dan Hurley extension get done a couple of weeks ago?
You may need another one.
No, I'm just saying, you might need another one, but I mean, 6 years, $32 million, like, it was perfect timing to get that done. Because, I mean, like, if he wins another national championship, like, he is the top target for Kentucky. Like, it starts with a no from Dan Hurley. It absolutely does.
Yeah, but if you're UConn, you do whatever it takes to make sure that he doesn't consider it. Or if he considers it, that he says no.
They just gave him money 2 weeks ago.
I understand.
You're like, rip that up and give him another one.
Whatever he wants, honestly.
So this is interesting, though, because we talk about the idea of Kentucky and this prestige around this program, and we're just talking about Danny Hurley. You know, Matt Painter's been at Purdue forever, was an assistant, if I'm not mistaken, with Gene Katie before taking over. He wins a championship tonight and upsets UConn. Does he have an offer on his doorstep? Are you going to stay at Purdue even though you've been there forever over going to Kentucky? You leave on a high note? I'm just saying, like, Kentucky wants that prestige of the hire now.
It ain't like he would have to go far right across state line. I'm just saying.
I mean, does the winner of tonight's... right,
easy move.
It ain't far.
Does the winner of tonight's game have an offer on their doorstep tomorrow?
Of course. Kentucky's going to take the biggest swings that they possibly can. Now, whether those people are interested in the job is another conversation. But if you really think that John Calipari is not a fit for your program, that means you're going to try to get somebody that's a bigger name that has more success from him than he has. And that is a short list of people that you need to go after. And I imagine that they're going to go after the biggest fish at the outset. And then as the no's roll in, then they may recalibrate.
Regardless of whatever happens tonight, Dan Hurley is the best coach in the sport.
No doubt.
There's no question in my mind about that. Like, even if he loses tonight to Purdue, he's still the best coach in the sport. I mean, they have been absolutely dominant the last couple of years.
So let's do a Dan Hurley or. Dan Hurley or Bill Self?
Dan Hurley.
Right now? Hurley,
Dan Hurley.
I mean, they're on the precipice of winning back-to-back national titles. This hasn't happened since 2007 in Florida.
Can I hit the pause button on that real quick?
Go ahead, Pat.
Dawn Staley's the best coach in the sport.
Okay.
On
the men's. Yeah, you said the sport.
Fair.
By the way,
that is fair, Pat. Dawn Staley is the best coach in college basketball.
If we're doing that, it's probably up for who's the fourth best coach overall, because Gino Auriemma has a better resume than any of them, and some people would say Kim Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey, yeah.
Right, so if we're going to play that.
He's done it at two different programs.
Right, if we're going to play that out as overall college basketball, whoever's the best in the men's sport actively would be the fourth best in college basketball.
Yes.
Because Jay Wright's better than all these guys, and he's not on the men's side, but he's not active, right? I would take Jay Wright over all of them. Coach K, obviously, but you can't see Coach K coming back. Jay Wright, you could still play out in your head. Villanova, of course, maybe he comes back. But again, like Calipari, my surprise would be if he comes back for a similar type job.
Yeah.
Like if he were to take the Sixers job before Nick Nurse, okay, I understand that. Or the Nets job wouldn't surprise me either. Like, that's a different type of job. That's where the shock, for me at least, comes in with John Calipari. But yes, would I take him over John Calipari, Danny Hurley? Absolutely. Would I take him over Bill Self right now in the moment? Yes.
Rick Pitino's got a historical resume that is unbelievable, but you wouldn't take him over him right now.
The baggage that comes along with Pitino in comparison to Dan Hurley, why would I do that?
I think it was Seth Greenberg that sat in our studio, ESPN College basketball analyst, that made the best point. There are so many similarities to Danny Hurley and Jim Harbaugh. It's really the quirkiness, the family affair, the I don't care what you're going to think of me. I'm going to tell you I'm going to wear one pair of underwear for the entire postseason. Like, I don't care. I'm going to joke around with you. I'm going to be a little bit borderline cocky because I can be, and we could potentially win our first or our second championship in a row here, which is the first since Florida in 06 and 07 back-to-back. Like, there's a little bit of Harbaugh, I think, in this Hurley family right now.
Yeah, but it plays at the program that he's at in UConn, right?
No doubt.
It plays.
Northeast especially.
And I think the way that those kids have bought in. I mean, we had Donovan Klingon on the show last week.
And we're having them on tomorrow if they win a championship?
Well, I anticipate that will happen.
I would say when they win a championship.
Yeah, when they win a championship.
No disrespect but, I mean, to Purdue.
What he was talking about when I mentioned to him NIL and transfer portal, he said, yeah, it's not about the NIL. They take care of us here. But it's about being able to buy in and do something special.
Exactly.
To be able to make history. It's a team-first agenda. And without somebody at the top of this thing that is a really strong leader, you don't have that type of mentality. You don't get that type of buy-in. So I think you have to attribute that to what Dan Hurley does. And being a great coach in today's college sports, it's not just about the X's and O's. It's being great in all of these other areas. And it's clear that from an intangible standpoint, Dan Hurley has those traits that has allowed him to have the preeminent program in all of men's college basketball.
So if we're looking at that as kind of the blueprint of what's been able to be successful, where it's a team first agenda and they let him run it the way that he needs to, quirks and all, that's kind of the opposite of Kentucky right now,
yeah.
No? Where there's all these
Agreed.
Cooks in the kitchen. Would they let Danny Hurley be Danny Hurley and have all these quirks publicly
no.
and let him do it his way without all these other people trying to intercede?
No.
And that's a problem for them. We talk about this with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys all the time. They have all the talent in the world, but because of the culture and the environment that he creates, the team can't get out of their own way. And that's not to say that John Calipari was blameless and their lack of what they perceive to be lack of success at Kentucky. But I think it's going to be hard for him or anybody else with all of the voices that want to be contributing to what the overall product is.
Boy, that is a great comparison that you just made, the Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot of Dallas Cowboys in Kentucky in their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of Dallas Cowboys in that.
So tonight, we just discussed that, obviously, with Hurley. He brings his team for the second chance in a row to win a national championship. Purdue has a very Virginia-like story for your school where a one losing to a 16, which for our whole lifetime until Virginia and Purdue then did it, was unheard of. Virginia then uses it as motivation to go come back and win a championship against Texas Tech, coached by Chris Beard, now at Ole Miss, turned down the Arkansas job. John Calipari takes that. And tonight, Matt Painter and Zach Edey and company can avenge that loss. Are we giving Purdue a shot, or are we going to sit here and say that a team in UConn that has won every game by double digits in this NCAA tournament has no shot of losing tonight?
I think UConn has no shot of losing. I don't want to say no shot because Purdue has been really great, but after watching UConn throughout the entirety of this tournament, they have dismantled everybody. I don't know how you have an answer for Donovan Klingon. I don't know.
Well, you have a 7-4 guy, I guess, is how.
Yeah, maybe. I guess, but just.
But you still have some shot making from the guys
from
UConn. Tristan Newton seems to make big play after big play when his team needs it the most. I'm with you, Smalls. I have a hard time envisioning it. I'm not going to say it can't happen because Zach Edey has shown himself to be great throughout this tournament. I mean, just think about the game he had against Tennessee where he dropped 40 and 16 and he had that huge block at the end on Dalton Connect. Like, I mean, can he dial up that level of play against UConn tonight? Sure, it could happen. So I don't want to be dismissive of it. I think it's better than a puncher's chance for Purdue. But I fully expect that we'll be talking about Kentucky winning back-to-back championships.
UConn.
Not Kentucky. Wow. I fully expect that we'll be talking about UConn winning back-to-back championships tomorrow morning.
So UConn. I got UConn also. By the way, if that happens, Myron Metcalf wins the ESPN Radio Bracket Challenge. I think even if it doesn't happen, Myron wins, which I get more credit than he does.
I can't believe I said Kentucky back-to-back champion. It sounds so ridiculous.
Let's focus on me getting credit for Myron winning, please.
It sounds ridiculous.
Kentucky on the brain today.
Yeah, sounds so ridiculous.
Do I get credit? Can we establish that now?
No, you don't.
I don't know why you want so much credit for this, Evan.
Yeah,
I picked Myron to win.
You don't get. Yeah, seven. But you didn't win.
You didn't win.
But that's a good pick.
You picked the winner. I guess that's a win, barely.
I'm glad you're acknowledging me picking winners, because I'll pick another one right now with True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. They're also in partnership with the PGA Tour. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. I would know. I have it at my house, where basically they're going to take your brown lawn and make it green. Just all you got to do is water and mow your lawn. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
I mean, there's only one place we're going for tonight's best bet, right? It has to be the national title game. UConn, Purdue, we are all on the UConn train right now. They've been the best team throughout the regular season, the best team in their conference tournament, the best team in the NCAA tournament, and there's no reason to think they won't be the best team tonight, even though they're going up against the guy that's going to be back-to-back player of the year in Zach Edey. So we are going to go with UConn. We are laying the 7.5 points tonight, and we're going to have that as a part of a two-leg parlay. We're going to take Donovan Clingan under 21.5 combined points and rebounds. He's going to be the sole focus of that team for Purdue in terms of the guy to stop. He's the one that you circle in the game plan meeting. They're going to try to shut down 32. So I think it all centers around being able to stop him. And, oh, by the way, Purdue has a guy that's 7'4 in Zach Edey. So Donovan Clingan under 21.5 total points and rebounds, parlayed with UConn laying the 7.5, and that pays out at plus 273.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, we got a lot, guys. Nothing more unsportsmanlike than the historical start time for the NCAA men's tournament, which is brutal at 9:20 p.m. Eastern. It's always been this way. I know it's not new. And I know, yes, first world problems. Oh, I feel so badly for you three that you have to stay up late and watch a basketball game and talk about it tomorrow. Just saying.
But it's not just us. It's everybody on the West Coast. And especially coming off the women's start time yesterday, which was so beautiful to have it. What was it, 3 p.m.?
3 p.m. Eastern.
3 p.m. tip. Yeah. It was amazing yesterday being able to actually plan your day around it. And then it's over. You can still have dinner, go to bed at a decent hour. Chef's kiss. I wish the men's game would do the same thing.
100% agree. All right, unsportsmanlike moments. Let's start with Ozzie Guillen, former manager of the Chicago White Sox, who is now part of the NBC Chicago broadcast for the White Sox. CC's giving me a look like, what's happening here? You're going to like this, I promise you. Well, we've had a lot of injuries in baseball, right? Ozzie's got an interesting solution to how to prevent them.
You seem like in the same way, you mean like,
Running the bases.
Everything is about legs. I don't know. Like I always say, John Kruk say, fat, never pull.
You can't pull fat.
Nope. All those, eat right, be careful what you eat, no cheeseburger. Here's the, man. I remember those guys go here drinking 2, 6, 7, 12 Budweiser, give me 3 hamburgers and go get it, boys.
Didn't go on the injured list.
And they play all year long.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's very confusing.
All right, fat never pulls.
Oh, yeah, people say that all the time.
Now I know I haven't pulled the muscle while running ever. Mm-hmm. It's great. Fat never pulls?
Oh, yeah. notice when guys in baseball, all of a sudden you see them lose a lot of weight and then they're constantly hurt? They always say that. You can't pull fat.
Yeah. I remember as a Yankees fan, we liked big CeCe Sabathia, not little CeCe Sabathia.
That's right.
He is so skinny, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I saw him a few weeks ago.
It's great for him now, but yeah. I mean, as a Yankees fan, you wanted to see big CeCe.
I saw him at a card big show time. A few weeks ago that I took my son to. I couldn't believe it. And then I said to him, I forgot even to tell you this. What's I up? Said to my son, who's 10, I said, CeCe's here. He goes, can't he? I said, no, Sabathia. He's 10. He only knows CeCe as in Chris Canty. All right. WrestleMania was last night. The Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia dominated, or at least one ex-Philadelphia Eagle. Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, part of the event last night. They show up, and they had tons of fun at WrestleMania. This is Pat Costello's, our producer's, dream. And he loves wrestling. He produced the WrestleMania preview show with Jonathan Zaslow on Saturday. He's a huge Eagles fan. And then he gets these guys in the Lucho Libre masks, right? The Mexican wrestling masks that they wear, jumping in the ring. Initially, the Philly crowd doesn't 100% know it's them. And then they take the masks off and they go crazy. It's Kelce and Lane Johnson.
Really impressive. Jason Kelce hopping over the ropes in some Timberlands and jeans.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, he is an athlete.
You can't pull fat.
That's a great point. Wow. That is a great point. I mean, Jason Kelce, I mean, what is it this guy good at?
He's good at everything.
Like, I mean, if he wanted to be a championship wrestler, he could do that. He's got a great podcast, New Heights with his brother. He was a Hall of Fame center. What is it that Jason Kelce can't do?
He's a Hall of Fame partier, right? hanging with Bill's Mafia.
Man, he is the most interesting man in sports right now.
And I don't know her, but it seems like he has a wonderful significant other who was out there yesterday.
She's the GOAT. We love Kylie.
Kylie Kelce was supporting the women's game yesterday in Cleveland.
The queen.
And I don't believe she's from Cleveland. He's from Cleveland. I think she's from Philly, right?
Yeah, she's from the Philly area.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Kelce... Not the same spelling nor the same name here. Kelce Plum went viral this weekend, the women's basketball star, because of the way she was eating popcorn.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're going to watch this on ESPNU. I think clearly she knew she was on camera and did a whole bit eating popcorn one at a time with her eyes wide open, just doing faces at people, right? I mean, Smalls, you saw that. This is clearly a bit that she's doing it this way.
Yeah, she knows the cameras are on her, so she's... hamming it up a little bit, and the way that she eats popcorn. It's almost like when someone's like, oh, I want the tea, give me the popcorn. That's kind of what she's doing. She almost knew that she was going to become a meme.
You can't eat popcorn one at a time, though, right? You have to just stuff your face with it. You put a bunch in your hand.
Yeah,
and just
exactly.
Throw it.
Yeah,
she's doing one.
That's awkward. It's very awkward.
You're uncomfortable by this?
It's very time consuming to eat popcorn one kernel at a time.
Yeah, no.
Or one piece at a time.
I don't think it was ever intended to be that way, no.
No, I think she was doing a bit. All right, last one here. This is a weird one. So the Sixers and the Spurs played last night. It was a double overtime victory for the Sixers over the Spurs. Keldon Johnson is a forward for the San Antonio Spurs. And last night, by accident, he bit one of his teammates. Bit him. They were celebrating. He had his mouth open, and he bit one of his teammates. Would you like to describe it as we're watching it on ESPN?
He bit him on the eyebrow. Like, what is he doing?
There's teeth marks, fangs, and blood over the eyebrow, too.
What is going on? Hey, bro.
Very odd.
Like, listen, I'm excited just like you are, but I would like for you not to draw blood, especially when you're using your mouth and your teeth to do so. Like, that's very, very strange. Just saying.
And there you go. Unsportsmanlike moments
of the day.
A
little too excited, Bob. Calm down. Relax a little bit.
I know that it would hurt to have somebody's teeth clamped down above your eyebrow, but think about how hard that has to hit your teeth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all out on some celebrations that teammates try to use as commonplace. Like, I'm all out on certainly being able to do that, right? Like, that's just doing way too much. Somebody smacking you on the backside, I'm out on that too.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
I just don't need all of that. Like, when I played football, I really didn't like being hit in the helmet either. It's like, dog, we do enough hitting.
Yeah.
I don't need you to try to hit me in the head even more. Like, we need to try to cut that down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there are just certain celebrations. I get teammates being enthusiastic, wanting to celebrate one another. But just some of the things, the old high five will get it done.
You better not
little high five, pat on the back, that gets it done.
You better not do first take with Doggy, with Christopher Mad Dog Russo. He's a big pat on the butt guy.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I'm
really?
Out on that.
Oh, huge pat on the butt guy.
I'm out on that.
Good boy. And he slaps you.
How do you know that, Evan?
Because I've been patted on the butt many of times by him.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Hey, phrasing.
What was wrong with that? I don't know.
It's very strange. Very strange.
He's a big pat of the
tuchus. It's very strange. I just think that some of the things that teammates do to show enthusiasm for making a good play are unnecessary.
All right.
And dare I say uncomfortable?
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe? Yeah, exactly.
What are we looking forward to most today? The national championship game, the eclipse, or if there's a Calipari Arkansas presser? Because the Calipari Arkansas presser will be juicy whenever that is.
I would say the national championship game for me.
I'm going to go to Natty, but by the slightest of margins. Coach Cal presser.
At Arkansas.
Yeah, the eclipse is down the line. Yeah.
Greedy coming up next. We're on a Tuesday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.